Would you agree that at the end of your life, you would not like to just rest in peace and be able to think, nobody knew who I was, nobody had an impact? Do you know that each one of you have inside you a yearning for immortality? Think about this. We have a desire in our physical body to somehow live as long as possible and possibly have an immortal life even in the afterlife. Majority of people, I think 97% of the people in America, for instance, and many parts of the world are identical, they have a belief in something afterlife. So there's a part of us that yearns for an immortal expression. Then spiritually we have that desire to live an immortal life. And mentally we have a desire to leave some sort of an idea or contribute to somebody's life, some sort of insight or knowledge or meaning to somebody else that lasts beyond our life. And then on our careers, we would like to have our career outlive our life. We don't want to just it disappear. We would like if we pass it on to our children or pass it on to somebody who is working for us, we have a desire to keep that business alive. And of course, in our financial, most of us would rather have more money at the end of the month than month at the end of the money. And most people would like to have more money at the end of their life than life at the end of their money. Would you agree? So there's a part of us that wants to have immortal wealth. And then there's also a desire to want to have an immortal family, to have offspring, children that will live beyond your life. I know I was jogging with my grandmother who was late 90s. And we were out there jogging, and she was actually out there jogging. It was slow, but she was out there jogging. And I said, what's the biggest challenge you face in your 90s? And she said, my children dying before I do. Because that's what was happening. She had some of her children dying before she did. And so that was a part of her that yearned for an immortal expression, to be able to outlive, have her children outlive her. The next one is have some sort of an impact on society that you remembered. You're not just forgotten. And of course, then physically, we want to have our bodies live as long as we want. How many would love to be 95 years old and still look like you're 18, 20? Still have that, the butt still up, not dragging. You have to hang. I was taught by a 93-year-old wise man. It says you have to hang every single day to neutralize gravity. Otherwise, you're going to drag and sag. How many have been there and have started noticing gravity? So you just got to hang yourself every day. I'm joking. So we have an immortal expression, desire for immortal expression. So having a desire for immortality is part of it. So how do we make an impact? One is we clarify that mission. Clarify, because if we concentrate our mission, just like a magnifying glass, we in a sense enthusiastically fire our life. We bring fire to it. And would you agree that if a person, people are out there and you're enthused, you draw more people than if you're a dud? People who are certain and people who are empowered and people who are enthusiastic and are loving what they do and are grateful for what they do and are inspired what they do, they draw and magnetize opportunity compared to people that are, you might have people that have digital craniorectalitis syndrome, if that's a word, or ho-hum do-drums or pity parties or trauma dramas or stars into scar kind of states. Now, another thing that's very important, just know that to make a difference, you have to have a big enough why to do it. If I ask somebody, I was just in a program the other day in Las Vegas speaking, and there was a gentleman there, and he says, I really would love to do this. And I said, how long have you been loving to do that? He goes, oh, for about 10 years. And I said, you haven't done it? He goes, no. And I said, it's not really something you love to do then. He goes, what do you mean by that? I said, if you really, 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 really would love to do it, you do it. So what you're doing is you're probably trying to live somebody else's life. He goes, Now think about this. How many of you have something that you would love to do in your life that you haven't gotten around to do? You say you'd love to do it, but you haven't gotten around to do it. Well, when you got a big enough why, the hows will take care of themselves. If you don't have a big enough why, the hows won't take care of themselves. Now I'm going to share something, kind of a bizarre story here. But I was in Australia, I live in Australia, and I had this seminar down there recently. And there was a lovely lady there. We were talking about economics and finances. And what's interesting, I said that no matter what, according to Alfred Marshall, who wrote a book called The Principles of Economics, brilliant gentleman, very wise, he said that any human motive can be, in a sense, measured economically. In other words, we could find out exactly what motivates you and how much it costs to buy that motivation or stop that motivation. In other words, if you have a habit, and I said, all right, I want you to stop that habit, and you say, well, I can't. And I said, okay, I'll give you $2,000 every time you don't do it. So let's say you smoke. You have $2,000 not to smoke for the next 10 minutes. How many would not smoke if you got $2,000 for the next 10 minutes? So if I give you $2, you go, no, I got to have a cigarette. But if I give you $2,000, you'd say, I can handle it for 10 minutes. if I give you $20,000, how many can do it for an hour?
Oh, yeah.
No problem. So anyway, I said, I could measure. She says, well, I could see about certain things, but I couldn't see it about my children. You couldn't tell me you could buy my children. I said, yes, I can. She said, I don't believe that. That's sick. And I said, I'm a sick person then. I said, I'll go to show it to you. I said, watch. Once I know your values, I know I can buy your children. She goes, that's insane. Nobody can buy my children. My children are the most precious things in the world. I said, let's watch. I said, if I paid you $10,000 to borrow your children for 1 hour and taught them how to appreciate and love you and taught them some of the principles on how to self-actualize their life, could I have them for 1 hour if I paid you $10,000? She said, damn right. Now, if I paid you $40,000 to have them for 1 day, and in that 1 day, I made sure that they learned everything about you that was magnificent and learned how to appreciate and love you and taught them about kind of the laws of the universe and how to self-actualize their life and how to have a spiritual quest lived, can I get them for a day? She goes, keep going. I said, if I was to borrow them for a week now and pay you $250,000, she said, you don't even have to go that high. And I said, so once I know what you really want is you want to make sure that they really loved you and that they had some spiritual awakening and that they were somehow fulfilled and actualized and had a great education. Yes. The more I guaranteed I could offer that, the more I could get them away from you, correct? She said, now that I realize it, yes. I said, so once I know that, the more I put that into the equation, the less I have to pay you to get them away. So if I kept doing that and I kept doing that and I kept moving it to a week, to a month, to a year, to 5 years, to 10 years, until I guaranteed her and gave her enough cash, combination helped it. She said, you got me. When are we gonna do the deal? She says, I got 3 kids, can we just triple that deal? What I was trying to say is that every human motivation is measurable, according to Alfred Marshall. Money is just a means of exchange and means of measurement. Now, when you got a big enough why, you'll do it. If I told you right now, let's say you had children, I said, take that dream that you would love to manifest, but you're not doing it, you're procrastinating, which means it's lower on your value list compared to something else. And I said, all right, now I'm going to give you $100 million if you get that done in the next 48 hours. How many would go get it done? Because it would go high on that value list because the cash would be there, yes? Now, if it wasn't cash, let's say you had millions of dollars and money wasn't motivating you, but you needed a Tom Cruise or a Tom Selleck or somebody else. And let's say you're looking for a soulmate, and I said, all right, you got Tom Cruise, you got Kevin Costner, you got the, well, whoever, all the, they lined up, and you got them all for the night. You got every one of those guys for the night, at choice, if you did your activity, would you get around to doing it? Or if you're a guy, maybe you'd be interested in the girls. But the point is, if I give you enough why, you'll do it. When the why is big enough, the hows take care of themselves. Now, you are not going to avoid doing what's highest on your value list. So anything you do that can link whatever you say you would love to do to your highest values, you increase the probability of doing it. And if you do that, you're going to be more inspired in your life, and you're going to have a bigger outreach. Let me explain why. The more we listen to our heart and our soul, the more inspired we become. The more inspired we become, the broader our vision. Fear and guilt contract us. Love and gratitude expand us. Love and gratitude brings inspiration from the heart, because when we have gratitude and love, gratitude is like the key to the heart that opens up the gateway to the heart where love and inspiration emerge. It's spontaneous. It expands our consciousness. Every time we are doing something we're grateful for, which means it's aligned with our highest values, and that we love, we automatically expand, and we see greater time horizons. Do you know that we cannot make a difference in ourselves unless we have a cause bigger than ourselves? Our habits will rule us. If you want to make a difference in yourself, one must have a cause bigger than oneself. If I'm standing up here and I'm worried about what you think of me, I'm thinking about me, and I can't deliver to you. If I think about you, I don't notice me. I might even have my collar all twisted or zipper undone or belt off or whatever. If I'm thinking about you, that doesn't matter. It doesn't throw me off. Now, if I want to make a difference in myself, I have to have a cause bigger than myself. If I want to make a difference in my family, I have to have a cause as big as my community. If I want to make a difference in my community, I must have a cause as big as my city. If I want to make a difference in my city, I must have a cause as big as my state. If I want to be number one in the state, I must have a national vision, a national cause. If I want to be a national recognized individual or impact, I must have a global vision, a global cause. And if I want to leave a global impact on this planet, I must have an astronomical cause. The Greeks laughed at Plato for teaching the young people astronomy. But what he was trying to do is accustom themselves to thinking celestially, looking back terrestrially. As Wayne Dyer says, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, more so than physical beings having a spiritual experience. And so what we do is we tend to think in terms of our terrestrial and looking out instead of looking out there, looking in. When we stay out here and look in, the world is ours to build and create. When we sit here and look out, we're overwhelmed by the immensity. So if we want to make a difference on this globe and make a major impact on the world, we must have an astronomical vision. Emerson says in his Circles, Essays of Circles, that the soul continuously draws us to ever greater concentric spheres, ever greater horizons of space and time in our thinking. I say that the magnitude of the horizon in which we see determines the level of our evolution. If we think in terms of a bum on the street that lives day to day, we have a small, contracted evolution. If we think of the pretzel maker who thinks in terms of maybe week to week, or maybe the shoe shiner that thinks month to month, or maybe the shoemaker that thinks year to year, or maybe the person that's in fashion that might think for the next generation, or maybe the sage that thinks for eternity, the magnitude of space and time in our minds determine, in a sense, the willingness for us to listen to our heart and inspirations. And the more we're living somebody else's and in fear and guilt, the more we contract that. So, if we want to live our mission and make a difference, it's wise to turn inward, discover ourselves, expand, and give us motivations and link the things we'd love to do, the things to are most important to us. We will not procrastinate doing things that are inspiring to us. We'll only procrastinate on things that are unlinked or lower on our value list. Another thing is to continually to take that love list and keep refining it. I started my love list and my mission statement in 1973. It's now a book. It's got all my dreams. It's got my mission statement. I read this on my computer or in hard copy every day, the mission statement. Because I learned that if I put my hand into the pot of glue, the glue sticks. If I put my mind into the great works of great immortals, I end up having some of those ideas sticking. And if I put my mind into the greatness of my own inspirations, then those inspirations start manifesting in my life. We're here as co-fashioners, taking the matter in the universe to, in a sense, mold it according to whoever has the most certainty and presence in their expression. And whoever has the most powerful expression and concentrated focus, in a sense, draws the resources from our universe and manifests. I had the opportunity, not too long ago, to meet a gentleman named Desmond Brooks. Desmond Brooks is absolutely one of the geniuses on this planet. He is the one who created the Bellagio. He designed and architecturally designed the Bellagio in Las Vegas, which is a beautiful hotel. And he's done the Versace Hotel in Australia, and he's doing Ralph Lauren's new palace, and he's done major buildings and architectural masterpieces around the world. We had dinner with him not too long ago, and for 5 hours, even someone like me who loves to speak was speechless, listening to this man's vision. The magnitude of the vision of what he saw on this planet, what he wanted to create, building in his own mind entire cities. I would love to design a city, all the buildings in the city and all the people's clothes and the outfits and the entire city imagined. And you saw his mind encompass the city. The person who, in a sense, listens to their soul expands their horizon and looks from outside in. If you read every single day your mission and keep refining it, you will see clearly, and all the details that you put into that dissolve the obstructions and the challenges you face, because every detail you leave out becomes a challenge that you bring in. Your innermost dominant thought becomes your outermost tangible reality. It's quite amazing when we start to concentrate on that. I think of Socrates, the stories of Socrates. You've probably heard this story, and I'll put it in my own twist on it. Socrates had this young man came up to Socrates, and he walked beside him, and he said, "Socrates, oh Socrates, I want to be a wise man. I want to learn everything that you have. I want to be and know everything that you know." And Socrates keeps walking to him and walks him up to the beach. And he says, "I want to be smart. Someday when I'm old as you, I want to be a wise man. Can you teach me? Will you teach me everything?" And Socrates walks right out into the ocean and brings him. And they go right out in the water to it until that the guy's head's sticking up out of the water. It's this high. And Socrates is sitting there talking to him. And finally, Socrates says, so you want to learn? He said, I want to learn everything. I'm dedicated. I'll be your best student. So he takes this head of this person and jams him down in the water and holds him under the water. And the guy starts squirming and fighting a little bit. He holds him under there and he comes up and the young man says, Socrates, I want to learn. I'm serious. I want to learn from you. He says, so you want to learn? Boom, puts him down in the water again. This time holds him down for a minute or two until he's kicking and fighting for his life. And finally, the young man comes up. He says, Socrates, what the hell are you doing? He says, you're mad. I want to learn from you. It looks like you're trying to kill me. He puts him down again. This time he goes down and keeps him down. 2 minutes. Almost 3 minutes until he goes limp. Then he picks him up and takes him on the beach and lays him on the beach. Revives him. And as he comes out and spits out water, Socrates says, when you want to learn from me as much as you just wanted to get a gasp of air, I'm here to teach you. When you got a big enough why, the teacher appears. If you have a dream and you got a big enough why, the resources and the teachers and the guidance and the creativity and everything in your life that is needed manifests it. You've got to have a big enough why. That means it has to be linked to your highest values.